There you go, guys.
All right. Whoa.
That's it. We're going to take the room down.
Got it. All right.
Okay.
Throwing stuff at the audience. Yeah, there you go.
My name is Mahesh Krishnan. I work as a principal consultant at Redify. I'm also a technical specialist in Windows Azure.
And I'm John Azariah. I'm the senior architect at MYOB. And today we're going to be talking about C++ on Azure.
Now, it all started a while ago when John and I were hanging out in the pub with a bunch of others. And as geeks normally do, you know, the topic kind of like led to programming and C++ programming. John and I are kind of C++. We used to program in C++ in the 90s. And one of our friends basically said, hey, I've got a C++ program. I've got a bit of an issue with it. And so John and I basically volunteered, you know what? This is what we do. You know, C++, we used to do C++ in the 90s. And we thought we were going to go and help him. So when we actually looked at the code, right, I mean, there was this alien code staring back at us. Has this ever happened to you? Who's programming in C#, by the way? Pretty much everyone. And have you gone back and looked at C++ and it looked strange? Yeah, you know the feeling, right? So it basically happened to us as well. I mean, there are two things that we actually found, right?
Well, first we found that we'd forgotten more about C++ than we remembered. Because it changed over time, and we hadn't just kept up, right? And the second thing is, we found that there was a severe problem, right? You have quite a bit of legacy stuff, good quality code written in C++ in the old days, and now you have some need to put it on the web, and you've got a very few sets of options to deal with. You've either got to go with, you know, some kind of .NET facade, and then p-invoke and comment drop and all kinds of other stuff, or you rewrite the thing in some other managed program, pull the thing up, right? So both of them are actually not palatable for those of us who actually have C++ as a core skill. And this need is actually the impetus behind getting Casablanca out the door.
Yeah. And the other thing that we actually noticed that was that modern C++ is actually quite different to the C++ that we used to know. You know, as people in Microsoft say, it's not your father's C++ anymore, right? It's got a lot of new stuff in there. It's got lambdas, it's got auto variables, and heaps of new stuff. There are smart pointers is another one, right? People use smart pointers all the time, whereas in the old days, we were all doing lots of news and deletes and things like that. So it has actually changed a fair bit. So what we actually did was one of the things we said, well, we've got to go back and learn this modern C++, which is what we did. And Arthur Laxburg, he's basically from the product team in Redmond, he had come over to Melbourne a few months ago. And independently, he was over at MYOB and he was over at a user group that I actually run. And he was talking about this new effort that they had where they were trying to put C++ into Windows Azure, and it was called Casablanca. And we kind of like, both of us got interested in it, and we got into it a fair bit, and talking to the product team over there, and kind of this culminated in us giving a talk on Casablanca at TechEd this year.
Right, so what we're gonna cover is actually, what is Casablanca? Why is it there? Well, we kind of touched on that a little bit already. Why is it designed the way it is? What does it look like? What's included? Supposed to be a 300-level talk, judging by the number of people here at the time of day. None of you are here by accident, right? You're here because you think C++ is awesome. You've got Azure up there. You've got to deal with it somehow. So we'll try to keep it, interesting. Put some demos in there. It's got lots of demos, lots of code. In pretty close touch with the Casablanca dev team, so we've got a whole bunch of samples and stuff that we're more than happy to share with you. But anyway, we're going to talk about a few things that are quite germane to the issue of C++ in the cloud. Now,
the one thing that how many of you are done some C++? If you're new with C++ over here, okay, fair few. And what about Azure? Okay, now. Yeah, we basically make the assumption that you're either, C++ or Azure. Or both. If you're neither, then, you're in for a rough ride.
Then you're going to be learning some really, really new stuff. Yeah. Hairy stuff, but new,
The other thing I would like to say is it's actually a pretty small crowd here today. So make it interactive, just interrupt us anytime, ask questions, and, I will go from there. So So what is Casablanca? So Casablanca is an incubation effort from Microsoft, and the aim is to basically put C++ in, to get it running in Windows Azure. Now, I mean, if you look at the various options that are available, I mean, you know, pretty much a lot of platforms are available. I mean, Node.js is one of them. Any of you been to the Node.js talks over here? Okay. So, you know, there's a big push on Node.js from Microsoft's end. And what Microsoft want to do is they want to give you a viable platform, if you're a C++ developer, to basically write code in C++ and run it on Azure. Now, a couple of things I want to point out. Now, it is an incubation effort, right? So a lot of things in here are still in flux. So it's not production ready yet. So if you think this is cool, it's absolutely cool, and so on, and tomorrow you want to go and put your code into production, maybe, you know, maybe not. But at the same time, you know, go ahead and try and use it. The product team would really love your feedback on it, and you know, you can basically shape the way this thing is moving as well. So why C++ in the cloud? I mean, this is a big question, right? I mean, why would you want to do C++ in the cloud? I mean, if you're all C-sharp programmers, you all know C-sharp is pretty easy. But the main thing, if you look at it, there's been a resurgence of C++ in the last few years here. Like, the last couple of years, a lot of people are moving back to C++. And I'm not here to sell C++ to you at all. If you're already been using C++, then Casablanca provides you an option to move your existing stuff into Azure. If you're already been working in C++, then you probably know that there are certain advantages of C++. The first thing is performance. It runs closer to metal, so, well, you know,
we're going to show you some stuff there.
it's all your code, Scott, if it's slow in C++. It does have advantages. You know, it can make use, you know, it does perform a lot better. Even samples that we wrote things in C++ and we ran it in C sharp. And when you run C++ on release mode, it just rocks. It is quite, you know, there's a bit of a performance increase. C++ does provide you with things like portability. And, you know, if you've got a large legacy code, you can leverage on it. See, in the old days, if you wanted to write a web application using C++, the recommended approach a lot of people actually said was, hey, you know, if you've got C++ code, put it all in the business logic and then end up using something like ASP.NET sit on front of it. This gives you an end-to-end option of writing everything in C++ and running it in the cloud.
Right.
So enough talk. Let's just jump in and do a bit of a demo.
Yeah, that's right. So one of the things we can do, let's see, switch over. Right. Right, so you can basically go in and we'll give you the links to the Casablanca website, right? So you go down, get the SDK. You've already got Visual Studio 2012. Let's see what a new Casablanca application looks like. Other languages. It's been relegated to the other languages section. It always annoys me. Anyway, so let's create one default. So right away, you can see that this isn't, a Hello World kind of thing. Well, it is kind of a Hello World kind of thing, but it's on a different platform, right? So things that you traditionally associate with cloud computing, you know, web roles, worker roles, you know, how you set up the number of instances, all of that comes in. You set it up when you start up the project itself. I'm going to pick worker role just because I'm perverse. And set up a friendly looking port over there, 30,000. Sorry, can anyone see? Guys, holler out if you can't see what's going on here, because the. And let's just finish. Now, what would happen if you did this in .NET or any managed type of environment is that you typically get two projects, right? You get one which is the role that gets deployed, and then you have the piece of code that you're going to write, and the role sort of packages that and you deploy it up to the cloud, whatever. What happens here is actually that you get three projects. I'll show you in a minute. Yeah, control four, yeah. So we have the service, which we are going to write. It's the same kind of thing. It's all healthy looking C++. Anyone forget to put standard AFX, include standard AFX.h at the top of their C++ files? Yeah. You got to learn all the magic incantations all over again, no? It's pretty cool. And then there's the worker role, right? You have the same kind of things that you have. So, oops. Yeah. Everything that we sort of recognize over there. And then we have this deployment project. The only sincere advice I can offer you with this deployment project is just leave it there. You're going to need it because how many of you went to the Nathan Totten Node talk where he was demonstrating how to take a Node application and deploy it to an Azure website, right? So you have a general purpose website, general purpose Azure environment, and what a system like Node will end up doing is sending a whole bunch of information to the server saying, hey, configure yourself as a Node server. Well, this thing does exactly that. We'll come back to this in the deployment stages and we'll go through it in some detail because there are a few gotchas here. But for the moment, and generally speaking, don't touch this. This stuff will just work. What I'm going to do then is, before I jump into any C++, I'm going to just run the application to show you how cool this is. Doot, doot. We need faster machines. Ooh, ooh. Incubation effort, right? So what happened is that we got, anyone see these before? Not for a long time. Compiler switches, right? So this is the project in flux. The guys up there basically gave us a private build a week ago and broke something. And when they release this thing in September, this will be fixed, but something else will be broken. So you just have to learn to go with the flow. It's the old-fashioned way. Let's just increase the PCH size. Anyone know what ZM is? No idea. Just mumble something, move on. And this time around, it should just work. Anytime now. Right. So we have a little command shell come up telling us it's listening to something on port 30,000. Let's go and take a look. Bear with me, I'll finish typing and I'll zoom in. So I went up and I said, you know, 30,000. What was that?
There you go. And yeah, there you go.
And then, you know, we got back a hello world. So it's interesting. It took us a little while, but we finally got there in the end. So we have the traditional greeting. Good morning and hello world.
All right. So let me just jump back to my slide deck. So quick show of hands. How many of you have looked at Node.js? Know about Node.js? A few people? Okay. Now, Node.js seems to be like the flavor of the month. I mean, a lot of people seem to be saying how, you know, I've been doing this in Node.js, I've been doing that in Node.js, and things like that. Microsoft have invested heavily into Node.js and the Azure platform. They're writing some of the stuff like the phone services and things like that that you have seen. They're all written in Node. So it's not unsurprising that Casablanca has heavily been influenced by Node as well. So for those that don't know about Node, it's basically written in JavaScript. It's a JavaScript framework. If you're web developers, then you've probably already been using JavaScript. You know, you do some kind of validations. You're probably using jQuery or some kind of Ajax stuff. You've probably been using JavaScript. But this is server-side JavaScript code. And you use it to create web servers and process the request that's coming in and do all kinds of neat stuff. It's a very elegant way of doing things. And that's one of the reasons that Node.js has been gaining in popularity. So I want to show you a piece of Node.js code. It's a simple hello world, and that's how it looks like. It's very simple. So what you're basically doing is you're creating a server and saying, hey, I want to listen in on this port, on, you know, on that server. And when a request comes in, it's basically a callback or a lambda, and you say request and response, and you write the response as 200, which is in HTTP status code of OK. You set the content type to text plain, and you send back a response of hello world. Pretty simple. This is like a, you know, the standard example that people throw up whenever they're talking about Node.js, a simple hello world app. Let's look at the equivalent in Casablanca in C++. That's how it looks like. You can kind of like notice the similarities. You create a HTTP listener and you listen in on that port, on localhost. And then when the request basically comes along, I mean, this is a little bit more simpler. It's like a one line where you send the status code of OK, which is 200. You set the content type to text plain and send back hello world. It is very similar. Yes.
That's right.
So you can kind of see the similarities. So let's just quickly jump in and do a bit of demo, right? Let's start looking at real C++. We haven't shown you that just as yet. So
I haven't even shown them the hello world. You did that. That's pretty cool. So we've got a little project here. Hang on, let me control 4. Yep. And so I've dispensed with the deployment, right? I'm just going to write a little web application. I don't really need to put it in the cloud for the demo, so we'll just go with the simple deployment. And so if you look here, we're using traditional, you know, how do I scroll down? Yeah. So we're using traditional, can everyone see that or not? You guys okay? Back in the room? Right. So we'll So it's the same kind of thing that Mahesh was talking about, right? Instead of sending back a text body, we actually send back HTML. Bit crude. There's plenty of elegant ways of doing it, but I'm being lazy. And we do something interesting with this one. We say, don't just send back hello world. Send back, you know, something relate that you get from the URI. So let's just run this. Right, and this time around, there you go. And so that's kind of a very simple way of doing it. Now, all we've been showing you so far is like GET requests, right? What's the big deal? You could do that. Well, there are many sort of overloads to the listener that you can create. One of the patterns that you'll end up seeing fairly often is a pattern that looks like this. In fact, the code that comes from sample code generally starts with just creating a simple listener and then applying support for a whole ton of HTTP verbs that you can just do whatever you want with. Also, if you guys... Everyone comfortable with lambdas, C++ lambdas, or you want me to walk through what they do? So this thing looks like a callback, but it's a little bit more than that. This is only one variant of callback that you can send. You can actually send back PPL tasks as well to handle any of the requests. What you'd read this like is, you know, support this verb, and when you get a message with this verb in it, call this function. And, you know, we can go off and do get and post and put and delete. And, in fact, don't you have a demo for that?
Yeah, so I've got a demo for that. I'll talk about that. So, I mean, you saw the influence of Node.
I got it.
Yeah, so you saw the influence of Node and Casablanca itself. And, you know, C++ is pretty old now. It's been around for a long time. And during the time that it's been around, there's been a lot of changes in the industry itself. The number one thing is that the web's come along, right? But in a lot of ways, C++ hasn't kept up. There are people who have written libraries, like web libraries, so you can actually create your own server and so on. But they've always been third party. It's never been part of any major framework as yet. And you also see a proliferation of RESTful services in the last few years. Now, Who knows about REST? Everyone over here? Okay. For those that don't know about REST, REST is a pretty simple way of calling a resource on the web. So if you want to, if you want to access a book, you basically say server name slash books and you pass in the ISBN. And if you want a product, you basically say, the URL is pretty simple. You say whatever server name is slash products and you pass in a product ID. And you get the data back in some kind of nice friendly format. Typically it can be XML, plain old XML. Or these days, there's been a lot of JSON that's being used. So what Casablanca actually supports is it provides libraries for you to create some of these RESTful API and also to serialize JSON objects into C++ objects and get it back and then things like that. One of the other things, of course, is cloud. And being in Azure and they want to port C++ into Azure, you want to be able to talk to table storages, blobs, queues, and tables, and things like that. So they have provided all those services. So what I want to do next is I want to quickly jump in and show you a bit of a demo on how all this hangs together.
By the way, he was only joking when he said friendly format and XML in the same sentence. Anyone?
Okay, now I've got a project over here. It's called JSON Demo. And I've created a book class. So what I want to do, there are three things that I want to show you in this demo. First thing is I want to show you how you can start creating RESTful API. And the second thing I want to show you is how you can serialize JSON you receive it from your HTTP request, put it into your C++ objects, and then send it back as well. And the third thing is how you can connect to hook it up to Azure. So my book.h file is pretty simple. It's got a few things over there. It's got an ISBN, title, price, authors, and publisher. And in my constructor, notice there's this namespace over here called HTTP JSON. This now is provided by Casablanca. And I pass it to the constructor, and it'll basically extract the JSON value and put it into those classes. I've also got methods over here called toJSON that converts my C++ object and converts it into JSON so I can send it back across the wire. I've also got methods called load from table storage and load to entity and things like that. And this is like a very traditional kind of object where you have all the methods doing working on the properties itself as opposed to simple just DTO objects that we pass around these days. If I jump into my JSON demo, how John was saying about support for different verbs, HTTP verbs or actions or whatever you want to call them. So the way that REST works is that it's a great way of doing CRUD operations. So when you want to do a create, you send a post request in HTTP. And then when you want to do a read, you do a get. When you do want to do an update, you send in a put. And then finally, if you want to delete, you just call delete. So that's what we're doing over here. So I've got a HTTP method of get, and
I'm getting some feedback. I don't know.
Stay away from me, John.
All right. No feedback for you.
So what I'm doing is I'm looking at the request itself and seeing what the relative URL is. And if it's empty, I return back all the books from table storage. Otherwise, I convert, if I basically say books slash an ISBN number, I pass it across to my load from table storage method so it can actually load it up. A post is an insert operation. So I basically extract the JSON from the body, and then I send it back to my book class to save it to table storage. So it's more of the same over here. So a put is an update, and a delete is basically a delete. Okay. So let's just see this whole thing in operation. Let me just fire this up. And I want to run Fiddler, so I can do all this from Fiddler. So I'm going to do a simple get operation. I think the port was 8082. I got back an OK. So let me just double click on that. And notice that the data that I've gotten back is in JSON format. I can look at the raw data as well. And if you look at the code, there's not much I need to do. I can basically pass back a JSON object in the response, and Casablanca will do all the rest. It'll convert it and it'll basically send it properly. If I wanted to get back a specific book, I can go into my composer and pass that. And voila, I just basically get back that book alone. So pretty simple and straightforward. Now let's do something a little bit more complex. Let's actually insert some data. So what I'll do is I'll copy whatever I've got over here and go back to my composer. I'll put that in the request of the body and we'll do a post. The one thing I need to do is over here is specify what the content type is. And I can do an insert. But before I do that, I want to show you the data in Cloud Storage Studio. So I've got a simple simple table that I've already set up. And it's basically got only about five records over here. So when I go in over here and do my insert in Fiddler, notice I get back a 201, which basically means it's created. That's one of the things about REST is it basically sends back HTTP status codes, so you know what is really happening. If I go back to my Cloud Storage Studio, I will find that it will have added a new. If I refresh that, it will have added a new item. Probably.
You didn't change the URL.
Didn't I? No. Let me do.
So we moved on from Silverlight 4, right? So create one for Silverlight 5.
Ah, okay. So let me go and change my JSON. I inserted the same record.
That's right.
That's what happened. Composer, and I'll call this 60. And maybe this needs a refresh. We'll make it Silverlight 5. So you guys know that it's really inserted. And yeah, basically you can see that now we have a Silverlight 5 for dummies as well. So if I were to delete this, it's pretty simple. All I need to do is go ahead and do a delete over here, and I need to pass in 660, I think.
Yep.
And that's a deleted it. If I go back over here, that should have been removed. Now this is a pretty simple example of RESTful API. Obviously, there's more to REST than just a simple implementing CRUDs and things like that. But it kind of like gives you an idea of where you can actually go with it. It's pretty simple and straightforward. So there's a lot of code in here, and rather than jumping in and showing it in Visual Studio where you jump around back and forth, we just thought we'll walk through some of this stuff in slides.
Yeah. So it's easy to get quite blasé about the fact that you've written, full-blown RESTful services supports CRUD operations against the cloud. You've seen the kind of code that we had to write was not verbose. It was actually pretty well supported. There's built-in functions for getting JSON out. There's built-in functions for making sure that you interact with the cloud properly and stuff like that. And in effect, what you only need to do is sort of do the deserialization and serialization yourself. Now, there are probably smarter ways to do this. We just picked the fastest way possible. Because you could even do things like used operator overloading and stuff like that in C++ to represent objects in two different namespaces and two different domains in an easy way. So this is, you know, typical, you know, straightforward stuff that we used to do back in the old days. We still do it. You know, anyone who's used a data record or has to do any of this kind of thing in C#, in terms of creating JSON objects, still has to do this kind of thing. It's fairly straightforward. JSON objects are just created. They're an associative array. You set up whatever values you want to do, and then you pass that into the request reply, which has an overload that takes JSON, right? So it's pretty simple. Similarly, you could... this thing is already out of date. How about that? Right. So you could do the same thing, except, you know, extracting the JSON into an associative array is done for you. So it's a simple thing. There are a couple of things I want to point out about this particular slide. So how many of you know what promises are? The ones that aren't broken. Fantastic. Excellent. So extract JSON and almost anything that deals with the cloud or the web or any kind of I/O, just as you would expect in a proper evented I/O, non-blocking I/O type of system, all of those are actually promises. The GET is effectively the synchronous call to say, please give me this information and I'm going to hang around until you give it to me. Thank you very much. There are other ways to interact with that promise, and we'll show you how that's done. The second thing, of course, is that Casablanca has actually moved on from the W string thing, because it is now capable of being run in demo mode on Linux. And so you can actually write full-blown applications without having to worry about whether stuff is wide string or narrow string and all of that. They're taking care of all of that. So right now you would write code that simply said Casablanca :: string, and then, you know, build your stuff up that way. Connecting to Azure Storage, very, very straightforward. It's a completely orthogonal set of operations. It's cleanly available. You know, you encapsulate your storage credentials, pass them around to create clients to Azure Storage, and you know, whichever flavor you like. We picked table because you've seen that in the demo, and it would look something like this. You create a table with, create a table over there, give it a name after figuring out which client you want to deal with from the previous slide, and then there's the GET again. Again, synchronous call, doesn't have to be, and then there's, you know, an auto iterator that sort of walks through the thing. So your C++ is starting to look pretty fluent. It's not the morass of you know, forward arrows that it used to be. Ditto for writing table storage. Again, same kind of thing. So you're getting the idea, right? We're wrapping the whole thing, bringing it back up. And all this seems to have done is, you know, I mean, it's reasonable to ask the question, so what's the big deal? I could have done this in JavaScript. Why go through C++? Why do you have to do any of this? And one of the things, so we thought you might ask that. One of the things that we actually wanted to talk about was, how do you leverage some of the cool things that you can actually do with C++ and showcase that? So the first part of it, till now, the demo is basically everything that you could do with some other system. Going forward, you're going to find that it's going to be increasingly more difficult to replicate what we've done in any platform other than unmanaged C++, actually.
Yeah, well, so typically, you know, you could do all these things in something like Node. And, Node is great. I'm not trying to put it down. But when you have things like image processing, or, you know, you want to start synthesizing speech and things like that, then that's when the power of C++ really comes to fore. And so we've got a text-to-speech demo where you can, you know, you open up a browser and type in the text, and it goes back to the server, and it converts that on the fly to some speech and sends it back.
Yeah, so this thing is something that... Let me get this
thing.
You
want to open the project first?
Yeah, I'll open the project.
I think I may be close to getting this to work.
So I kind of wrote this little project. Actually, when I was trying to learn Node, right, I wrote this so that I could do something substantial with it. So I had to package this into an executable and then call exec from the Node file and then be able to get stuff going back and forth. It's a lot simpler in if you can call your library in process, right? So I didn't even need to make it a DLL. I just made it a simple one. And there's only one simple API for the library, speak text. So let's do this. Let's just run ahead. And gotcha number one, run as administrator. Okay. Now, that goes against everything that they tell you you're supposed to do. And this is,
let me do this. Let me fire this up for you.
Yeah, so they tell you that it's not best practice, right? But then, first of all, this stuff is actually still incubation. And secondly, you are messing around with writing web servers that are requesting access to all kinds of network services and stuff like that. So it's probably good that you do that deliberately, not by mistake.
That's your excuse.
That's right. Well, we've deliberately turned on the speed service now. So let's go off. Okay, this is the most complicated website in the whole world. It looks like Google, but isn't. So look at Google. It's pretty cool, isn't it? Here's our answer to Google now. Too much C++. Double colons. How about that? Right. Does that remind you of Google? Kind of. Doesn't it? Right. Anyone feeling in a witty mood, wanting to make a comment? Bill?
Yes, sir.
All right. That's Bill.
The mic over here is actually turned onto a speaker. Can we have the... Okay, we'll just pull this out.
Hang on a second. What's going on here? Interesting.
No, it's all good, I think.
No, it's not. Give me a second. This is what happens when you write the code, right? So you know what's going on. You can hear it squealing in the background. Let me switch it to debug mode just for a minute. Hang on. I'll do this right. Yeah. Open in File Explorer.
And just go to debug mode.
No, right? No. Hold on. All we have to do is create
a temporary
folder to hold our file that we're generating. That's all it's complaining about.
Okay. So when we were doing a practice run session, we were running it in debug mode.
Debug mode, yeah. So.
And then when you want to deploy to the cloud, you switch it over to release mode and then...
Right. Your name's up in lights again, Bill.
Hi, Sensei.
Whoa. So what happened there? If you actually think about what I've just done, this isn't running on the local machine. I've got my server here. It's taken the text, encoded it to a WAV file, put the WAV file in the cloud, and sent back an audio tag with a URL to the WAV tag. Yeah? Ask Bradley to pay attention. He's on his phone, his iPhone.
Speakers are working.
I sense it. Will all the hecklers in row 2 please keep quiet?
Right? And that's actually pretty cool, because we've kind of started to use the Casablanca stack a little bit more heavily now. So as I said, if you could show the source on this.
Yeah, you just
This is good, clean, old-fashioned, healthy HTML. And there's a URL there. It's an autoplay audio tag. This is HTML5 that goes off and gets the thing from the blob and plays it. So it's the browser that's doing the playing and the server that's doing the encoding. And if you think about that, that's actually pretty cool, I think.
At least we think it's pretty cool anyway.
All right.
So do you want to start deploying it?
That's right, yeah. Start the deployment process. Now, as I mentioned earlier, working with Azure is always an exercise in patience, right? So we'll start with working through what are the different pieces, and then I'll go on to talk about the actual deployment. Right. So remember this thing I was telling you about, the deployment project? Let me just show you how the whole deployment stuff works. The worker role, which is generated for you, has a CSDEF file, which... does two things. As soon as you deploy it, the first thing it does is call this batch file. And what this does is puts a redistributable, the C++ redistributable, in your Azure instance, so that you can run a C++ application, and all the DLLs that it normally expects to see are available at that time, right? And then, of course, there's the add endpoints to the configuration, which go off and pull things out of the config file and set up the whole Azure thing. The deployment project actually contains, and then, of course, I'll show you how it's run. The deployment project contains this VC redist 64. That, can anyone see that? Yeah. So that is actually the product that expands out and gives you the C++ runtime. The other thing that happens here is in order to run your application, it needs to run in a host. And that host is also put up with this deployment project. So the deployment project is the thing that the Casablanca guys need. They need all of this stuff running in the cloud so that they can then call ahead and run your DLL in the context of their service host. So it's important that we don't mess up the deployment. And now we're running in release. And I'm going to go ahead and start the publish. From here on out, right, this is exactly how you would publish any Windows Azure application. None of this stuff is specific to the Casablanca side of things. You know, you go in there, you download your credentials, and then you import them if you need to. Pick a subscription, figure out where your cloud service is, what instance, what kind of configuration. Possibly set up whatever you want. We want remote desktop so that we can go and figure out what failed, if something failed.
Which happens quite a lot,
Which happens quite a lot, right? Did I mention that this is an incubation project? So... anyway, and then we can start publish on it. And the publish has started. Now, it's going to take about 15 minutes to... Oh, is in use. Yes, let's go ahead and do that in a second. Replace. So it's going to take about 15 minutes to do this, and I was going to actually switch over to a pre-deployed speech-to-text thing to show you the whole thing working. Except yesterday we got a new treat from the guys up in Redmond, and I'm going to let Mahesh talk to you about that.
Yeah. So what I'm actually doing right now is taking a few pictures, obviously, of you guys, the audience, and I've got a Windows Store 8 app that's actually written, and what it's going to do is it's going to communicate to an application that is sitting in Casablanca that was just. It's just been deployed as of yesterday. So this app, by the way, it's not going to win any awards or anything. It's if anything, it's pretty poorly written. It's been put up in QuickTime. So let me go back and open up the image switcher. I'm going to add the photos that I just took. So I'll just go ahead and select those photos and open them. I've got all those pictures over there. And I'll select all these photos, and I'm going to call Stitch. So there's a number of things happening over here. Now, these images are probably quite big as well. So I'm sending all these things across. This application is written in C++ as well. It's a Windows 8 Store app. It's written in C++. It's calling those services. It's sending all those images across to the application that's deployed in Casablanca. and it is calling into some image stitching API or libraries that Microsoft have deployed. It stitched all the images back to, and as you notice, it stitched them together, and you get a panoramic view of the whole audience. I think it's pretty cool, anyway.
Yeah, and the cool thing, as thank you, and the cool thing, as Mahesh pointed out, is that that is end-to-end C++. It's code from Microsoft Research that does the image stitching that they were using in C-Dragon for a whole bunch of other things. They took that out, just slapped it into a service, which is not much more complex than the services you've seen so far. And what it does right now, you know, it's got the blob storage stuff going on. The client written in C++, the client's accessing the blob directly, which is, again, quite interesting. And that's written in C++ as well. So remember when we started off and we talked about Azure, Casablanca being, you know, C++ to write server-side code? It's really a lie, because they've actually expanded the stack to include client-side libraries that you can use from anywhere, in fact, even from a C-sharp kind of environment, to hit Azure and, you know, Azure storage natively. So, yeah, that's the kind of thing that would be very difficult to do in a traditional web application kind of situation. In fact, are we going to do here? We're going to tweet this thing?
Yeah, tweet this thing.
All right, well, maybe you should retweet it out, because this is actually pretty cool. In fact, this is the first time anyone's seen this, right? I mean, we saw it for the first time yesterday, and this is the first public viewing of any of this stuff anywhere outside Redmond. So I think it's pretty hot.
So what is the?
It's AZR331. He's had like three or four talks today. So.
Okay.
That's fine.
Okay, that's it. I've gone ahead and tweeted it, and so you should be able to see that image as well on Twitter.
Right.
Okay, so all good?
Right. So now I'm an architect. In my day job, they give me an Etch-a-Sketch to draw pictures in boxes, right? So I had to draw one of these things. So is that red or orange? Can I take a vote?
Orange.
It's orange. It's not red.
Yeah, I thought you were the one who actually kept insisting it was red. Anyway.
So all the stuff that's orange is actually part of Casablanca. If you look down there, we've been... A big one?
Blood orange.
It's blood orange, even better. Okay. So you've got the HTTP client and listener, which is pretty much what we've been using so far. And then there's the binary, I mean, there's the Azure storage, which we've kind of used so far. I haven't even bothered to start with C++ actors, because that's borrowed from Erlang, and there's a whole heap of really, really cool stuff that's coming out. We'll probably do that for the next talk, and that'll be probably a 600-level talk or something. There's async file I/O, which we've kind of shown, the JSON parser and writer. But if you look down there, you've got WebSockets, which is kind of cool. Because, you know, the buzz about trying to write broadcast-type applications and all of the things that, you know, writing the mass mobile experiment in Node, it's actually possible now with Casablanca. So you can conceive of people doing pretty cool stuff without having to actually change the native programming language that they would deal with. So, yes, moving on. Yes, as I mentioned, the client libraries. This is such a late-breaking change that it didn't make it into the top half of the slide stack. And as I promised you earlier, promises. That's a promise. And normally we've been just doing request and then dot get. Here's an example of an asynchronous usage of the same promise, where you take a dot request, it goes off and gets the HTML page back, and when you're done with that, you just chain along a task. And this is where we're actually upping the ante on traditional callbacks, because traditional callbacks can't be composed, whereas tasks can. So you can potentially take a task that was written by somebody and another task that was written by somebody else, compose the two, and run the composition of those tasks as the task that you want. So it makes the extensibility and the reusability of code, you know, proper functionally, right? It's a proper functional way of doing things, unlike doing stuff with callbacks.
Now, before we jump into another demo, I want to show you, you know, all this, as John said, all this library, all this stuff is available on the client side as well. Casablanca is available on the client side. Now, more importantly, there are libraries that you can actually hook into Windows 8 store applications as well. Now, I'm not sure whether you know, but if you want to talk table storage or blobs or queues from a Windows 8 client, Azure they don't have any libraries just as yet. They're probably in the works, but that's one of the things that Casablanca have probably got it before the C# and libraries. So what I'm going to show you is, real quick, is jump in.
Shall I close this?
If I were to create a Windows Store app, and looking for add references. Notice that I've got a Casablanca extension SDK for MetroStyle apps. So you'd just be able to include that and just use it. Okay, so finally, one of the demos that we want to show is when we first started, we wanted to make a really cool imaging application. But then we decided that because the image stitcher just came in yesterday, we thought we'll show the image stitcher rather than the stuff that we actually wrote. So to actually showcase image processing and so on, we ended up writing a Mandelbrot set. And we also wrote a Windows 8 client where you can actually kind of like start zooming in into the Mandelbrot set and see how it all hangs together. So let me switch to, is it 8?
Yep.
So that's your standard Mandelbrot.
So that's actually dark red, black on dark red. Fantastic for those of us who have
so I can actually
problems
move.
With vision.
As I move, what's happening is the application is creating a web request and sending it to the server, and it is generating the image on the fly. It's not even creating a temporary file. It's actually creating the image on the fly, and it's sending back an image that you can actually display on your screen. So if I start zooming in, So you can actually keep doing infinite zooms.
So it's the ultimate deep zoom, right? Because we're generating the detail as we go along, and the important thing to notice, right? Again, this stuff isn't just theoretical; it's very, very practical. You can build proper end-to-end C++ applications that do really, really cool things. And of course, it keeps going in.
Yeah, you can keep going in. You can spend hours and hours just exploring the Mandelbrot set, right?
Go all the way. Yes, give me some of your time.
Yeah, try doing this in Node.js, right?
not digging Node.js. So the key thing here is that this is an example of... let me talk about what's actually happening over there. There's the general computation of the escape velocities of each point, right? And that's fine. That tells you what color it is. And then you get this huge bitmap. And we actually call off into the Windows imaging component to encode that into a PNG. So you get a proper PNG file. We don't actually save the file anywhere. It's encoded into a stream. We get the bytes out of the stream and just plop it into the response object and send it across. So there is no temporary storage. There is no blob. It's all happening live as you see it. Every frame that you see there is being computed on the fly. The other cool thing, as a teaser preview, is that this thing is going to get even faster. Because the next thing that's coming out of the Casablanca team is support for GPU processing, which totally changes the game as far as what you can actually do with web service in the cloud. This is also using, oh, by the way, oh, did you go to the Valley of the Seahorses?
Yeah.
All right. So this is an area that, in my previous life as a mathematician, this is an area known as the Valley of the Seahorses. Actually, seahorse on the other side. This one's different. And you get infinite zoom, just like everywhere else, and you'll find a bunch of mandelbugs in each of those tendrils hanging off on the side. Fascinating stuff, right?
Well, I'm probably distracting everyone by zooming in, so you keep talking.
Right. So the other thing is, yeah, so support for GPU processing, right, which would totally change the game. Yes, on the server. So this, by the way, this thing is already multi-threaded. So it's using parallel for PPL tasks. It's using this to heavily parallelize. And so if you ran this on an 8-core box, you'd use all 8 cores. It would actually use all 8 cores all the time, which is, unless you're using IIS node or something like that, it's very difficult to actually start using more than one core on a single box anywhere in the cloud, whereas this one really takes advantage of whatever hardware you're paying for in the cloud. This is actually not running on Azure. This is running on our local deployment. We're still having issues deploying certain types of applications to Azure because you can get
an extra large 8 cores.
That'll
work pretty well.
But also, we can use the word Amazon here, can't we? So you could get this thing to run on any instance, right? This thing runs in Linux. The Casablanca stack runs in Linux. So you could take this stuff and run it on a machine that actually provided not just one GPU, but 4, right? And you can, yeah. So it uses the C++ AMP, the accelerated massive parallelization libraries that are coming out of Microsoft. That's part of C11 on Visual Studio 2012. You could write this locally to use your GPU. Yeah. So there are already ways to do this locally. The key thing to notice is that even though it's running locally, it's running through a web service. If you open Fiddler and take a look at this, you'd give in a request that told you the bounds that you wanted to see, and it would give back a PNG. So it's a weird way, but we're really treating the entire Mandelbrot set as a repository of images that we can restfully query by saying, hey, give me that bit of the thing and give it to me as a PNG, and it would pull it out and give it to you. I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah. So.
Oh, and by the way, there's a 15% improvement using C++ than C# on this, which is totally negated by the fact that it took me 2 hours to write this in C#. And about 4 days to debug the whole thing in C++, right? So you, the swings, roundabouts, and everything, but that's I'm telling it like it is.
Yeah. So we want to start wrapping up, and like I said earlier, Casablanca is an incubation effort. As I said earlier, if you want to take it into production, I'll basically wait for a while. It's not ready as yet. But the team the team in Redmond has been really helpful. They sat through and helped us debug some of the issues that we had and so on. So big thanks to Arthur and his team, I guess. And he really would love to hear feedback. So if you're interested in running your C++ code in Azure, just download. So we've got some resources over here, and you'd be able to download all the slides. So that's the site you go over to download Casablanca. And if you're interested in modern C++, I was talking about availability of things like lambdas and autos and things like that. If you're not already familiar with that and you want to familiarize yourself, you can go and MSDN has pretty good documentation, so you can go and have a look at it. PPL is another one. Excuse me. PPL is another one that you may be interested in. So go over and have a look at PPL. You know, promises and how you can actually use them. Arthur, you know, from the team, has written a bunch of articles that are pretty good. And that's the forum for Casablanca. If you've got any questions, you can post it. And they, like I said, they would love to hear your feedback. And, you know, one of the things that, one of the main takeaways from this talk is basically the fact that if you are already programming in C++, then there is an option for you to move your application to Azure without having to write, you know, pinwork and all kind of interop stuff. And anything else that you want to add, John?
Nope.
That's it? Okay, guys.
I just wanted to show you the value of the seahorses. This is one of the seahorses. That's pretty much it.
Yeah. All right. Questions?
Is there any reason why, if you had, say, some reason that you had a whole heap of C++ that you needed to run the path, would there be any reason why you wouldn't go down the path of just putting a C sharp layer on top of that and calling it within a normal web or off?
I think that's what people have been doing. And like I said earlier, you know, you could, what this allows you to do is give you an option to write end-to-end C++ code. I mean, you can do that. I mean, you could write a DLL and you call it from, you know, C-sharp code and so on. That's still possible. And it's just that, you know, if you're a C++ programmer, you don't have to learn another language just so that you can use your libraries in the cloud. And that's the whole point. And like I said, you know, we're not trying to upsell C++ or anything. I mean, we are both C-sharp developers, and we love C-sharp. But, you know, it's just another option for you.
The correct answer, which is what Mahesh is saying, is that you don't have to move it. You can if you want to, but there's actually no reason to.
Yeah, but if you've got to write that stuff around it anyway, it's already in libraries. Is there any
Yeah, basically what this is doing is making C++ a first-class citizen in the Azure world, right? And it's been a long time coming. I mean, I remember writing CGI applications, good Lord. So it's gone from there to being fairly inclusive. I mean, Python can be a first-class .NET language or .NET Azure language. Why can't C++? Pretty much. Sure. So that's actually the kind of question that we should ask, you know, the guys up in Redmond to do this. Now, that's a fantastic kind of, that's the feedback that they want, right? Because this is how they want to see this thing being used. Now, the normal HTML, yes, I found it, you know, quite cumbersome to deal with strings, right? Going back, we're stepping back to sort of, you know, for want a better VBScript type of thing where you concat strings to send out HTML. You don't want to do that anymore. It'd be nice to be able to call XSL if you need to. It'd be nice to call other libraries if you need to. You're probably ahead of where you think you are because there are probably a whole bunch of C++ libraries that already do some of the string manipulation stuff. And now you can call through to them directly. There's just no Microsoft specificness to any of this thing, right? So you can use Boost just like anything just like any other C++ app, you know, program. So whichever library you feel like calling, you can call. But if these guys were going to try and actually put together a front end and they wanted to do more than JSON, well, we need to tell them what we want. And I think there's a perfectly reasonable need to be able to abstract away HTML, for example, or abstract away XML. You can call MS XML, by the way. And most of the stuff that we're dealing with, you know, with the exception of Mandelbrot, which is written natively in that file, and I can show you guys the code anytime you like, with the exception of the encoding part of it, everything's native, but the encoding is actually just calling through COM, co-create instance, and then start encoding stuff. So there are plenty of libraries that I remember. I mean, MS XML for one, surely, is... Sure, and you can probably use libxml and a whole bunch of other things, but it'd be pretty cool if you know if you could forward your request on. We're more than happy to pass on feedback to.
Like I said, they are looking for feedback, and they said, hey, you know, we're starting this effort, and we'd really like to hear what are the things that you want, that people really want, and so you know, more than happy to pass all that feedback back to the team. It is early stages of the product, and if you think about it, you know, if you went back about a year. You know, Node wasn't even supported. So there's a chance that, you know, you come back to TechKit next year and then, you know, there's a lot of stuff being run in C++. Okay, well, I've got a few more of these suites to give away. Here you go. Oops. Here you go, Scott. You can have some more. And anyone on this side? All right, thanks, guys.
Yeah.